What's up, sunshine? It's time to shine here on this March 5th. I hope it's a super Tuesday so far because in the political world, it is a literal super Tuesday. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, and this is the day where more states vote than any other date, both Republicans and Democrats casting their votes in at least 15 states and one territory to choose their party's presidential nominee. The term super Tuesday is only several decades old and originally referred to those states voting at the end of the primary season in June, but in the 1980s, Democrats in southern states combined their voting days to front-load the primary process. They thought this timing would give an edge to more moderate candidates in their party, though that goal hasn't always worked for either party. This Super Tuesday could be Nikki Haley's best chance to challenge former President Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. Over the weekend, Haley won the GOP primary in Washington, D.C., her first such win this election season. Trump has won every other primary or caucus, holding a 244-43 lead in the delegate count over Haley. At least 1,215 delegates are needed to win the party's nomination. Now, on Monday, former President Trump had a meaningful victory at the Supreme Court, the justices unanimously agreeing that he should remain on the ballot in Colorado. The state previously declared that he was ineligible to run for president because of his alleged role in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol building. But the Supreme Court put him back on Colorado's ballot. Now, for Democrats, while Super Tuesday is super important, it may be less of a defining moment than President Biden's State of the Union address, which will be held on Thursday. A series of recent polls show voters' concerns with the current U.S. president. The 81-year-old commander-in-chief faces distrust in his ability to serve a second term, as well as frustration with how his administration has handled global and domestic crises. So, the State of the Union speech will give Biden an opportunity to address these concerns and reassure voters. Now, one of the major concerns of voters is President Biden's policies towards Israel and Gaza, and that's where we're going next. It has been nearly 5 months since Hamas attacked Israel, and since then, Israel has waged war on the Palestinian territory. Currently, U.S. officials are negotiating a 6-week ceasefire proposal that would allow for the release of hostages held by Hamas and a surge of humanitarian aid into Gaza. Progress towards a deal being reached has been slow as both sides claim there are sticking points holding them back. In the meantime, the U.S. began airdropping emergency humanitarian assistance this weekend with thousands of meals for the war-torn Gaza residents. Here's CNN's Paula Hancock with details on this emergency aid package.
We are expecting more aid airdrops over Gaza in the coming days. This after what we saw Saturday, the U.S. and the Royal Jordanian Air Force dropping aid along the coastlines of Gaza. Now, the U.S. said that they dropped 66 bundles. That was 38,000 meals, no water or medical supplies in this airdrop. But they say that they did consider it successful as they were monitoring the area afterwards and said that they saw civilians come out to take the aid and then distribute it. Now, Jordan and the UAE have already been doing airdrops over recent days, and we know that other countries are considering whether this is the way to try and get desperately needed aid into some of the hardest hit areas of Gaza. But we are hearing from some humanitarian aid groups that this is not the ideal way to try and get the aid in. They say, in fact, one called it a band-aid measure to try and help those desperately in need. Of course, once the aid lands in Gaza, there is no organized distribution. There is no control over who gets this aid, and there's no guarantee that it will get to those who desperately need it. What we're hearing from humanitarian aid groups, from the UN agencies, and we've been hearing this for months, is that Israel needs to lift restrictions on what gets into Gaza, restrictions at the crossings, and restrictions of transporting the aid around the Gaza Strip once it is inside. Now, one thing that all humanitarian aid groups agree is that a ceasefire would allow them to get humanitarian aid into where it is needed.
10-second trivia. What was the CDC, or Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's, primary mission when it first began in 1946? Combat malaria, teach public health workers, develop good hygiene routines, or study cancer? If you said combat malaria, boom shakalaka! The CDC's first name was actually the Communicable Disease Center, and it established its headquarters in Atlanta because malaria was most prevalent in the South. Our next story is about new COVID-19 guidelines from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We asked CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, to explain these changes, why they were made, and about the best ways for people to protect themselves from the virus.
Well, these are some of the biggest changes in guidance that we've heard from the CDC in quite some time now. And there's people who say, look, this is a long time coming. Other people who understandably are very concerned about this, especially people who are more vulnerable, have some sort of pre-existing condition, for example. Let's take a look here. Previous guidance on the left, current now guidance on the right. The top line is the most significant. In the past, they said day 0 to 5, you should stay in isolation. Now they're saying stay home or away from others if you have symptoms. The reason that's concerning for a lot of people is because we know you can still be contagious even if you don't have symptoms. Day 6 and onward, they say, especially if you're going to be around vulnerable people, you should wear a mask. You should think about ventilation. You should try and keep your distance. Now, part of the reason they're making these changes, the CDC, a few reasons. They say that 97% of the country now has some degree of immunity, which is probably true between vaccination and people who've been previously infected. But keep in mind, a lot of people get infected over and over again. So if they have the immunity, it doesn't seem to last very long. Also, if you look at hospitalizations and deaths, they've gone down considerably, 60% lower for hospitalizations. Deaths have gone down 83%. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that some people say this is sort of fluifying COVID. We're treating this like flu. But I want to show you this graph that we pulled that makes this case that COVID is still a lot more concerning than flu. Orange line is COVID. Go back to 2019, 2020, you see the difference between COVID, flu in blue, and then red is RSV. Even now, most currently, you see how much more of an impact COVID has overall on hospitalizations. In the last season, flu had about 21,000 people who died. With COVID, it was closer to 245,000. COVID is not flu. People can still spread this. Even when they're asymptomatic, as I mentioned, they are more contagious. They are contagious for longer with COVID. They can experience symptoms for a long time after infection, long COVID, and it can cause some very serious illness in people. So I think that's the concern, that even though it's being treated more and more, COVID's been treated more and more like flu, it is not flu. As we get more information about these guidelines, we'll certainly bring them to you.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, the curious case of the corpse flower, the Titan arum, aka corpse flower, native to the rainforest of Sumatra, Indonesia, blooming at the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco last week. A rare treat, as these plants have a blooming cycle that can take years, sometimes even longer than a decade. This one lurked underground, gathering nutrients for 5 years, and then, like a zombie rising from the dead, shot up to nearly 7 feet tall. These beautiful behemoth-like blooms only last for about 24 to 48 hours, but why the term corpse flower? Well, it smells like rotting flesh, apparently.
People say garlic, sweaty feet, rotten flesh. Yeah, I actually kind of thought it smelled a little bit like a porta potty, like a collection of scents.
Ew. Let this be a reminder that just because something or someone is beautiful, looks aren't everything. So be kind, y'all, and remember to shower. Also remember tomorrow's hashtag Your Word Wednesday, where you can help us write the show. Follow me at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok, and put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post, and we'll choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show with a shout out to you and your school. Speaking of shout out today, we are showing some love to Canyon City High School in Canyon City, Colorado. How about them Tigers? Thanks for subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. I'm Coy Wire. We are CNN, and you are awesome.